Welcome to the BitByte Podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only, and is not financial advice.
So last time we talked, we were talking about the CPI was about to be released. I think we recorded on Wednesday night that the CPI numbers came out on Thursday.
Correct.
And we are now in Friday. And so did you watch the charts at all that day?
I did not.
Bitcoin was weird that day because we saw a dump, right? And then as soon as that news came out, we pumped to over 45,000. And now we've kind of twittered back down again. I mean, after the numbers were announced as higher inflation than what they were expecting, which I was kind of not necessarily hopeful that it would be lower, only hopeful in the sense that more money flowing freely would allow Bitcoin to skyrocket a little bit quicker. That was my big take from it. Like, I mean, that was my concern, I guess, from that angle of it. However, the truth really was printed out. I mean, I guess the relative truth, right?
Yeah. I mean, I did say that, if inflation hasn't risen on the CPI, then they're hiding something.
Yeah.
And it was, what, 7.5%?
Yeah, 7.5%. 40-year high.
1982.
Yeah. Upward pressure on consumer prices is unlikely to relent soon, putting more pressure on the Federal Reserve to act. And from my understanding is they're going to have an emergency meeting. I don't know when that is yet. I haven't seen that part.
Yeah. So do you think they're going to raise interest rates?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're going to have to. With the way that everybody's reacting to this, I think that's definitely going to have to happen. Like, they're going to make sure that interest rates go up. As to what percentage they're going to do, I don't know. But then, not that I want to get into a lot of the political part of this too, but I mean, then you saw what was happening today with the Ukraine situation, right? They're putting out reports saying that basically Putin's invading.
Yeah, next week.
Mm-hmm. And
so,
I don't know. I think when you look at it from... That's such a weird spot anyways, but I guess he's sending 3,000 more troops over. I don't know. It's a weird... But again, it goes back to whenever, the economy's tanking like this, what do they like to do? They like to go to war.
Yep.
I hope we don't fall for it this time.
Well, I'd like to think that America... Well, we've been at war for like 20 years.
Yeah.
21 years. I just wonder if America's war weary. I don't know. They may not be as much as I would like, but I'm hoping that in the age of information with the internet that we have nowadays and all the socials that it's not really going to fly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and I think we are war weary. I think especially after the second Gulf conflict and the WMD fiascos and all that stuff. I don't think we talked about it on the podcast, but I think you and I talked offline about it, about that, that press correspondent or basically that, journalist talking to, was it a defense secretary? What was that? I don't even know. It looked like a kid.
It was the Secretary of State? It's like some representative given a press conference, and basically the press corps member was calling him out. It's like, hey, what evidence do you have?
Yeah.
It's like, well, I just gave you the evidence. No, you didn't give us the evidence. You gave us your word.
Yeah.
It's like, what about WMDs? Right.
Yeah. And I hope that reflects, I mean, cause the media has not been the most honest anyways, but I mean, when you see that coming from the media, that makes me feel a little bit better about things. Hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah. I mean, the mainstream press has basically been cheerleaders for every war. They even tried to get us to go to war with Syria when Obama was president. I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
After he gassed his own people, and like, I think it was like 90% of Americans were like, no, this is not happening.
Yeah, this is not.
And it didn't happen.
Yeah. And I really hope we kind of get in the same thing here, because really we have no business being involved in that. Whatever Putin may be doing, if he is really doing anything major, we know that that's been a very hot spot. And I'm by no means am I a geopolitical genius or anything like that, but we know that's been a hot spot and it's been debated. I mean, you got people there that want to be under Russian control. You got people that don't. But I don't believe this isn't, you know, Putin trying to push for world domination by any means.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of NATO things going on there. So, we've tried to get Ukraine into NATO, which is basically right next to Russia.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. There's a lot of geopolitical stuff. We even overthrew one of their leaders when they started to side up with Russia back under Obama. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff to that. But it's been a contentious issue since it was under Obama's presidency when that happened.
Yeah.
So I remember John McCain going over there and saying, these are some fine young folks, some revolutionaries. And when you actually looked into who they were literal Nazis. And I don't mean Trump supporters. I mean, Goose Steppen, Sieg Heilin, Nazis. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that rise that we got out of Bitcoin based off the CPI news, we dipped down to 43,220 and then spiked up to 45,852. Now we've dropped back down to 42,615, went back up to 43,967, and now we're on the decline again. 42,205. However, I will say this, I mean, With the way the price structure was looking, and I mean, we have had a pretty solid week of rises, you know, of the price going up. I would expect us to go back and kind of retest some of those lower levels. Question is whether or not we'll hold them.
No, I got to agree with you. I don't think it's going to, I mean, we're kind of, it's been mostly sideways.
Yeah.
For a while. Again, I mean, what was it? It was over the weekend that things picked up, right? Last weekend.
Yeah, I mean, basically, if we go back from, I'm trying to see where did this trend kind of begin. Looks like we kind of bottomed out on February 4th at about 36,266. Maybe that wasn't the bottoming out, but that may have been. That's looking like right around that time is when we started to reverse and started to go back up. So from February 4th to today. What is that? That's 9 days?
February 4th to today? No, that's 7 days, 1 week.
1 week? I can't do math. So I don't know. We'll have to see where this weekend goes. I'm curious. Honestly, I'm really curious. I think we're going to see a lot of Super Bowl ads in regards to cryptocurrency this year.
I think you're right.
I think it's going to be like the big talk of the Super Bowl, and that may be one of the bigger takeaways. I wonder if we'll kind of have a bounce like we did that year of Thanksgiving in 2017. Because you had everybody go back home, talk to their family members about Bitcoin, and then right after Thanksgiving, that day after Thanksgiving, we saw a huge bump. And I wonder if we're going to see the same thing again, especially with all that coverage.
No, that's a good point. I mean, so you're basically saying buy your coins now, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
sell on Monday.
Yeah.
Sell on Monday.
I always recommend buying coins now. I mean, and by not financial advice, I always think, I mean, if you have the long-term outlook of Bitcoin, if you have the conviction that you believe this is going to be the way of the future, anytime right now is a good time to buy. I don't care if you're buying at 50,000. I don't care if you're buying at 40,000. Sub $150,000 Bitcoin is probably going to look like a dream within the next maybe 2 years, maybe less than that. Could be within a year, you know?
Yeah, with things going, I mean, who knows, right?
Yeah. And so with that inflation rate, I mean, and I get that part of it. And that's the only thing that may be like kind of the brakes on the whole thing is that people are looking at Bitcoin as a risk on asset, right? And now they're trying to go risk off because of inflation. And if the Fed's going to tighten up their money, then, but I guess the question is, like, where's the money come from? Is it retail investors? Is it, you know, institutional buyers? If it's institutional buyers, I think that the smart thing for them to do is to buy Bitcoin, because what you've got nothing else, and Bitcoin really shouldn't be correlated to the NASDAQ or any of the tech stocks. Because I mean, when we look at the tech stocks today, they took a big dump too. Apple's down 2%, Tesla's down 4%, Netflix is down 3%, gold is up 1.7%. Silver's up 1.5. Yeah, go gold. And that's kind of the interesting side of that, right? Like, I mean, because gold bugs and Bitcoin investors very much see the same problems with the monetary system.
Yep. It's just one is, you know, an asset that's been owned for 6,000 years, and the other one's potentially a wave of the future, or potentially, you know, something that's going to be in the dustbin of history.
Yeah.
But time will tell, right?
Right. Exactly.
Well, and that's the thing with the inflation that you were mentioning. You know, usually when things get kind of shifty, you want to put stuff into safe assets. But what are the safe assets nowadays? I mean, bond rates are so ridiculous that you're losing money big time now with interest rate or, you know, inflation at 7.5%.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're not making any money. And that's why I'm like, if I was a company and I had a bunch of cash on my balance sheet, I would probably take a playbook out of Michael Saylor's camp and I would start buying up some Bitcoin. And that could very well be happening. They know how to do that without moving the market. Michael Saylor does it all the time, where he does this, just those microtransactions all the time, right? Just buys up. And I mean, what happens is eventually that supply is going to be gone. We've talked about this.
Yep. I wonder.
Oh, go ahead.
I just, you know, we keep talking about it. When things go south, or if things go south with, you know, when they say the Federal Reserve pumps the brakes and puts interest rates up, I mean, what's that going to do to all the markets, stock market, all the markets? I mean, it's going to be kind of a crazy time.
Oh, it's going to be a global catastrophe.
Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be nuts. But, you know, just speculating, I do think that, you know, gold and silver are definitely going to do well. And I really do think Bitcoin is going to be another safe haven.
Yeah.
That people are going to jump to.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, because what happens if the Federal Reserve, they have this emergency meeting, they decide they're going to increase interest rates. I mean, let's just think of this as a thought experiment, right? They decide to raise interest rates, tanks the market. They're going to have another emergency meeting immediately, and they're going to have to start printing money again.
Which, I mean, having something where there's only a finite amount when you compare it to dollars, where they're just printing like it's going out of style. Well, it's not like they even print anymore. It's just all digital transactions are, you know, they just add a zero onto the ledger and there you go.
Yeah. Yep. One of the things that I was going to bring up too was Will Clement released his financial report for the week, or I guess his on-chain analysis for the week. He was talking about how there is a huge accumulation right now on the sidelines of a lot of the exchanges of stable coins that they haven't bought in yet, but they're sitting on the sign lanes. So, you know, it's almost like dry powder for a keg, right?
Yeah. Just waiting for that moment.
Yeah. They're waiting for that moment where they're going to buy. I mean, and I can't remember how many millions he said was on there, but he said there was a lot just sitting there right now, just waiting. And I mean, I guarantee that's all it is. It's just them waiting to pull the trigger and start purchasing. But at what level they decide to do that, you know, I don't know. I do think, like I said, I do think a pullback right now is not uncalled for. I think it's fine. I mean, if we get down into 38,000 again, kind of retest that, bounce back up, if that even happens. If we go down that low, we may only touch down to 40. I mean, we're still hitting, we've hit that 42,000 mark and we've been kind of bouncing off that. I don't know how long that'll hold. We could go back down further. Another thing I wanted to bring up too was, I thought this was kind of interesting. El Salvador has announced that they're going to start doing their sale of their Bitcoin bond, or what they call the volcano bond, March 15th. So that's coming up here pretty soon. And right before now, or right before this happened, the Fitch Rating Agency, I guess that rates the country's monetary supplies or however they're ranked within the countries, took them from the default rating IDRs to CCC from a B minus. So they went to CCC. I guess that's pretty bad. To a B minus. They're currently $1.2 billion in debt, in external debt in 2023. That's what they're going to have to pay off. With $800 million due in January of, I'm guessing, 2023. Fitch also said the country faces a financing gap of $1.2 billion in 2022, which will rise to $2.5 billion in 2023. If this volcano bond, because it's supposed to be a $1 billion bond, gets them out of debt completely, that'll be kind of interesting to see.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Though, putting on the some of the powers that be would probably want to put the squeeze on them before that can happen.
They don't have a whole lot of time if they're going to do that. They got to do the squeeze within the next, 15 days or so. We'll see what happens. All of a sudden,
Russia launched a nuke against El Salvador. It was going for America, but something happened. I don't know.
They have such bad engineers. It went derailed and just got Nayib Bukele just right then and there. We can't fathom it.
Right in the volcano.
Right in the volcano. I can't. It's craziness. I'm curious. I mean, that is such a showdown right there. I mean, that dude, I would have my security guards all over me if I was him. I wonder, this is so crazy to see. You got this one country playing chicken with the IMF. And yeah, they may pull it off.
The huevos on this guy, let me say.
He's got nothing to lose. He's seen what happens when they go down that road. Look at Greece.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, it's not good. He has his neck to lose, but, his country has everything to gain.
Yeah, well, I mean, the country's already screwed as far as I can tell. I mean, I'm not saying, I have no idea what El Salvador's like. But, I mean, that country was already in some hot water, right? And I guarantee the IMF wanted to go out there and be like, look, we'll make you comfortable. We hold the babies.
He's risking it all, but you know what? If he freaking comes through on this, he's going to be a legend.
He is.
In El Salvador.
He's going to be across the world.
Oh, yeah.
He stares down. If he comes out of this and he gets El Salvador debt-free, I mean, that's just insane. What does a country look like when it's debt-free? I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, we've had central banks for too long. We wouldn't know what that looked like.
And then at that point, he won't even need anything to do with any central banks or anything like that. He will have gotten himself out of the system.
We'll call him Jackson Jr., Andrew Jackson Jr.
El Jefe. That's just, to me, that's amazing. I can't wait to see how that's going to play out. I mean, that's a huge showdown right there. And we don't have a whole long to wait. We don't have a long time to wait to see how that's going to play. The curious thing is, because they keep on saying that this volcano bond is going to be oversold, and I really wonder what that's going to sell like.
You know, I think there's a lot of Bitcoin evangelists like ourselves that are even more enthusiastic, and they're probably going to jump all over this just to jump on it.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. They're going to support it.
Absolutely. So, speaking of predictions, we predict prices. Like, what's the El Salvador's president's name?
Nayib Bukele.
Do you think he's going to survive? Think he's going to finish 2022 with, alive, with a pulse?
I would not be surprised at all if he ends up finding himself assassinated somehow. Because I'm sure that they could pin it like in the people and being like, oh, the people were upset that they lost all their money because of Bitcoin. And so they killed him off. And then I guarantee whoever the current presidential cabinet or however the executive branch works, they'd be like, oh yeah, no, we're good with the IMF and Bitcoin is illegal now.
Exactly. So, there was some crazy predator drone that had a El Salvador flag on it that just took him out.
Yep. We don't. There was three gunmen, maybe four, all from the crowd. He got shot like 10 times. I don't know. Like I'm gonna give 80% odds he gets assassinated this year.
I think there's an 80% odds that there's an attempt on his life. I'm gonna say 50-50 if he survives this year.
Yeah. Okay, I'll go with that. That's a good one.
Okay.
Not that I don't wish the guy ill at all.
No. No, if I could, dude, this guy's a hero. If I could put a protective shield around him, put him in a little Pope bubble.
Yeah, he needs to be all the time. Like, he needs to be. And like I said, I don't know. I have no idea what his politics are like. People in El Salvador may hate his guts, but I'm like, this guy has got, like, I mean, he's either the smartest man I've known or he's just really edgy. I have no idea.
Same here, but we salute him.
Yeah. I'll be curious to see what Bitcoin does after the Super Bowl. I am very anxious to kind of wait that and see on Monday what happens. So do you have anything else you wanted to add tonight?
No. You know what? Speaking of predictions, so you think it's going to be up?
I really feel like, man, I have a feeling we are going to see so many crypto and Bitcoin commercials during the Super Bowl that I think people, I don't think there's anybody that's going to be left in the United States that has not heard of Bitcoin.
Yep. It's just whether or not they trust it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, for sure. That's where I'm at on it. So I think we'll go up. I don't know it'll be much, but I expect, I let's say, just to make things interesting, I'll say post-Super Bowl we'll be back above 45 on Monday. Say Monday closing, we'll be back above 45,000.
I think between Sunday and Monday, there'll be a $2,000 bump.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say.
Okay. And that would be right around that 45 mark. I mean, because we're at 42, almost 43 right now, so. Yeah, I mean, $2,000 bump, I mean, that's a lot to move the market. So, I mean, that's quite a bit of money that moves in. So, yes, sir. It'll be interesting.
I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. You going to watch
the game? Not so much the Super Bowl, but I'm talking about the Bitcoin bump.
You going to watch the game at all?
I don't know. Yeah. I haven't watched any football in so many years.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I think we're going to end up watching the game because it's going to be like her family does everything together, so we'll end up watching the game over at her grandparents' house or something. So yeah, but that's all I got tonight. You can always email us. I don't know why I was saying I am. You can always email us at contact@thebitbytepodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter @thebitbytepod, and I think that's all we got right now. I am going to be working on possibly a YouTube thing. I did some experimenting with another thing that we do, and there is YouTube integration, and it just loads the podcast on the YouTube. So we'll have to see that. But
nice.
Thank y'all for listening.
Peace out. Bye.